Today, we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit descended on the gathered disciples in a great gust of wind, and it settled on each one of them as a tongue of fire. Who is this Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, which he promised to send to his disciples after the ascension. The Spirit that, as St. Paul put it so movingly, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. This is the Spirit which intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words when we do not know how to pray. Over the last couple of weeks here at Christ Church, we have reviewed the outline of our faith in the Catechism regarding the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in all things and is everywhere present, and for that reason has been called the indwelling Spirit. This is a name much beloved by Episcopalians. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the risen Christ within us and among us. The Holy Spirit is the treasury of blessing which makes a living faith possible. The Holy Spirit is very real, blessed, and elusive, an elusive divine presence that can renew us and kindle us in us the fire of love for God and one another, and can empower us to live faithfully regardless of our circumstances. The Holy Spirit is so essential in our own lives, and it is responsible for our ongoing conversion, which is a critical force, very ever-present force in our lives. So it's not surprising that from the early church, mainly through prayer, came to articulate the relationship between God, the risen Christ, and the Spirit of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This very definition of the Holy Spirit takes us back to the early church, way back to 451 AD, the Chalcedon Council, which defines in our mystical tradition. And you can actually reference this in the prayer book on page 864. Later, this was written into our creeds, the Nicene Creed, the Anastasius Creed, and the Apostles' Creed. So while it is surprising that the Holy Spirit has been neglected for so long in Western Christianity, and one reason is that, like God, the Holy Spirit cannot be controlled. The Spirit blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from nor where it goes. And this can make the Holy Spirit problematic and dangerous for those who are in positions of power. The Spirit can and often does speak through women and men who are not authorized or deemed suitable, for whatever reason, to make pronouncements on matters of God, but who often will do that anyway as the Spirit speaks through them. A study of the prophets and Christian mystics will bear this out. The writings of St. Teresa of Avila convey how careful she had to be to avoid being branded a heretic at a time when accusation could land a person into the hands of the Inquisition. And it's not surprising that the great mystics of our Christian tradition, for whom the Holy Spirit has always been central, have often been treated with suspicion or even rejection during their lives, only to be honored after they are safely dead. Ever since the Middle Ages, there's been a trend to separate faith from reason, prayer from action, the life of faith from God, and belief from spirituality. This was realized in European Enlightenment in the 17th and 18th century, and later came from the scientific revolution. The Holy Spirit has been crowded out through history, even in seminaries and in civic life. So given that our faith tradition exists within and celebrates the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit, we trust that this is very active and in our life of faith. The Spirit of Jesus surprises people, often those who may not feel included. The Spirit and companion gives spirit as a means of a continuing relationship. There's a story from recently just where our lovely Maureen could not rally the children to select a song to sing during our service. Great indecision and angst was happening downstairs and occurring in Sunday school as the children were about to come upstairs. And then our precious Abel remembered Zacchaeus. To see the Holy Spirit alive and active here is to remember how Zacchaeus, and through Abel's little presence of the Holy Spirit, was so desperate to see who Jesus was. His curiosity in drawing near, like trying to hide up in a tree. This was not convenient for Zacchaeus, as he was a wealthy chief publican. But the Spirit working in Jesus drew him in. And we loved hearing the children sing that song. The Spirit was alive and well, and is teaching us to our blessed children here in our own sanctuary. We are blessed in community with diversity. Pentecost celebrates diversity in the unity of Christ. In the Acts, the Spirit descends upon all and reveals itself through the diversity of languages. 1 Corinthians today describes a range of spiritual gifts that build up Christ's body, the church. And in the gospel, the disciples receive the gift of unity through forgiveness. Our readings challenge us ourselves to view this diversity as essential for unity. Diversity is the path to our harmonious whole. When we foster each other's unique gifts that are bestowed, when we embrace our differences and listen to each other and work to build bridges instead of trenches. It is the Spirit who helps us to walk the path of honest and authentic witness and wholeness in the body of Christ and in the glory of God. In our gospel today, the risen Christ breathes the Holy Spirit upon the disciples and into the disciples, commissioning them. The Holy Spirit is a flesh and blood experience, the literal breath, the Greek word for this being pneuma, of the crucified and risen Christ. They receive this breath and with it the ability to forgive and to heal. This is, in itself, a holy responsibility to forgive, to heal, and hold on to others as Christ would hold on to them. According to our tradition, then, the origins of the sacrament of reconciliation stem from this very reading itself. In a contemporary reading of John, Jesus says, "If you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. If you don't forgive sins, what are you really going to do with them as you hold on to them?" Food for thought. So as we examine our lives, consider this passage and ask the Holy Spirit for assistance in your own prayer to amend your life by giving up grudges long held, sins not forgiven, for ourselves and for others. This is the freedom that Jesus grants through the Holy Spirit. So to close, I want to stop and take a few breaths together to actually move into the practice of the recognition in our lives of the Holy Spirit. I am a student of the wisdom tradition of the church, and I offer this meditation offered by a contemplative practitioner, Dr. Jana Rensel, who creates practices for community. Here she offers a meditation practice which helps us to experience with each breath that we are affirming God's presence through the Holy Spirit. So let's stop and take a few breaths. Breathe. Now think of the opening scene of the Bible, which depicts God breathing over the formless cosmic chaos, breathing creation into existence. Take a few breaths and just imagine what that could be like. In the act of breathing this life-giving energy into creation, God breathes spirit into all matter. God places God's breath, God's spirit, also within all of us. So imagine his spirit. Know that his spirit is in each one of us, in each cell of our being, in our lungs, in our breath, in our breathing. This holy breath is God's unyielding presence within us. God's breath animates us. It sustains us. It actually inspires us, and it guides us. And so, when we're feeling discouraged or alone, our very breath serves as an actual witness to God's presence and activity in our lives. I pray that you trust this, that you will come to know this more deeply in your being. And I close with a prayer. May the breath of God bring you blessing. May you always know unconditional love in the gentle breeze of God's presence. May God breathe into you a contemplative spirit, a spirit of love, a spirit of peace. And may you breathe a spirit of trust into the life around you. May the breath of God bless you. Amen.